This podcast is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and for contact information on publicist Steve Joyner.
Bill, what are you watching?
You mean, who am I watching? Doctor Who.
Wait a minute. Who's a doctor?
Exactly. Who's a doctor?
I wouldn't know. Who's a doctor? It's certainly not Henry.
You're right. Who's a doctor? Not Henry.
I still have no idea what I'm talking about. Never mind, I'm going to listen to the Sherpa's interview with Mike Faber of Earth Station 1. Maybe he knows who's a doctor.
Of course he knows. Everyone knows who's a doctor.
Well, I don't know who's a doctor. And I don't care.
What did you say?
And I don't care.
Oh, that's the voiceover bot in me crack corn.
Attention, rebels of the Sherpalution. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now Mr. Bruce will lead you into the Sherpa Chalet. As a reminder, a podcast from this high altitude might make you think the Sherpa is funny.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, he's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, Rebels, and welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It's me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. Of course it is. And you know who you are, so I won't ask. We are talking about nerd culture today, and we need a very special guest.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
I'm so glad that you asked, Mr. Bruce. Our guest today, his name is Mike Faber, and he is the host of the Earth Station 1 podcast, and they talk about all things nerd culture. And, you know, I gotta say something. I really don't know much about that. Now, stop acting so shocked, you over there with the hat. We know you. I'm keeping an eye on you. Anyway, I really honestly don't know anything about nerd culture. And I didn't know what to expect when I spoke to Mike. And I really found myself, he was really a pleasant surprise. And I learned a lot from him too, which was pretty cool. You know, we talked about Comic-Cons and Doctor Who and all sorts of other cool things like that. And I never really knew much about it, but you can hear his passion for it. And it really made me interested in it as well. So I definitely picked the right guy to talk to about nerd culture. So let's have a listen to my conversation with Mike Faber of Earth Station 1. Hello there, Rebels. We are in the Inner Geek Room at the Sherpa Chalet. And I have an appropriate guest for that. He is, let's call him the commander of the Earth Station 1 podcast. His name is Mike Faber. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, Jim, thank you for having me here. And commander, wow. My head might get a little too huge for this, you know. The ego will just fly through the room and everything. It's pretty cool, though. You know, it's great to be here. And thank you, thank you. On, you know, a nice cold night here down in Georgia, which is rare to say for this time of year. It's great to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. I figured, hey, if you're at a station, so you should be the commander. And he's also got a podcast network known as the ESO Network.
I do.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, though.
Okay.
Okay. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, Mike?
Okay. My name is Mike Faber, as Jim said. I host the Earth Station 1 podcast. I've been doing podcasting for close to 12 years. And basically, Earth Station 1 has been going now for almost 10 and a half of those years. And we've only missed 1 week. And it's a weekly podcast that we put out regularly. It's basically all geek themed. And we just have a blast talking about different topics. It's basically each week, it's a different topic. We have guests on the show. We have some celebrities, writers, artists, other geeks, and it's just great. We just got done talking to Jack O'Halloran, who is a boxer, former boxer, and he was also Nan in Superman too. A lot of people know him for. And so it was a great interview on this. It's going to be coming out live to the public on Thursday, I think it's 17th of September. So we also, our main topic that week is we talk about The Umbrella Academy, which is a television show on Netflix, which is pretty darn awesome. So it's neat to be able to talk about a different thing. You know, sometimes we talk about music. We sometimes talk about geek conventions. Sometimes we talk about cartoons, television show, movies, books. You know, for a while we were doing a book club, and you know, life got just too busy to be able to sit around and just talk about books all the time, because that's a lot of reading and a lot in a short bit of time. So it's pretty neat, and I love just meeting new people, talking to them, get their opinions on it. And you know, when people think of a geeky podcast, they think of us a lot of times, but for us, geek is another word for passion, as we like to say on the show. You can be passionate about art. You can be passionate about movies, sports, nature, road trips, travel, architecture, anything you know you could think of. And that's the great thing about doing the Geek Seat, which is on our show. We have people in and we find out what their passions are. And it's really cool. And it's a great way to bring out, you know, things for different people.
And what's your main passion, Mike?
My main passion is right now podcasting. And, you know, it changes over the years. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a comic book artist. And then I heard people on the radio and it's like, I want to do that someday. I want to be able to talk on the radio, play music that I like, stuff like that. And so in college, I worked at college radio stations and basically interned at radio stations in Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. So, and these were big, you know, top 40 stations. One of them was an adult, you know, adult rock music, and the other was a progressive station also. So, you know, I got to experience all different type of things. So it's kind of cool.
You also co-host with a guy named Mike Gordon, who's not here.
He is not here. That Mike Gordon is my co-host, and he actually came on our show about 6 months after we started. Originally, I started podcasting because I was already done with radio. I was working as a graphic designer at the time, and I was starting to listen to podcasts, and I'm like going, I can do that. That doesn't sound too hard. I basically started podcasting, and I then eventually started Earth Station 1UP. Originally, I started with my nephew as my co-host, and he was in college at the time, and he started getting really busy with his finals and everything. So I was not officially looking for a co-host, but out of nowhere, like around episode 17 of the show, I got an email from this guy. Howdy, I like your show. It's really good. You know, I listened to every episode. And from there on, I basically wrote him back and said, hey, do you want to come on our show? We're going to be talking about Star Wars next week. And he said, oh, I love Star Wars. He came on the show. He never left. And he's been on the show for him, it's just, he just passed his 10-year anniversary with me. Or as I like to tease people, he's been with me longer than my first wife, so it's better.
With the geek culture, what do you think people are the most passionate about? Are there certain episodes that you get like the biggest reaction from that you get like a lot of feedback on?
It depends. Truthfully, it's changed over the years. You know, recently when we reviewed Picard or on the, was it CBS All Access channel or The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, we've gotten a lot of feedback on. Originally, we were doing Doctor Who reviews also during the podcast. And too many people actually started saying, hey, Mike, you're talking too much about Doctor Who all the time. Talk about more geeky stuff. We want to hear you say, you know, your opinions on this. So we basically spun the Doctor Who segment into its own show. And that's how our second podcast was born. And that hence was the birth of the ESO network. Going back to the first podcast, you know, Earth Station 1, you mentioned, you know, it's what's in right now with geek culture and everything? What's the big passions and everything? A lot of people are very big into a lot of the streaming of the shows right now and, you know, power binging through it, but it's because everyone's stuck in their house still and they can't go to the movies. They can't go see, you know, it's looking like right now New Mutants is going to be the biggest movie of the summer because it was the only bigger movie that actually came out, because even Bill and Ted was video on demand, and same thing with Mulan.
It's definitely creating a whole different way of looking at the way that we view movies and TV too.
Oh, very much so. Even the ways people are going to conventions or gatherings and such, it's all becoming virtual. San Diego Comic-Con, it was a huge, almost like 150,000 people in San Diego went canceled and went all virtual this year. Same thing with Dragon Con down here in Atlanta, which is over Labor Day weekend, which that gets 90,000 people too. And they did it all virtual. And I think New York Comic Con coming up in a couple weeks in the beginning of October is going virtual also. So, you know, it's a new way of doing it. And I think a lot of these cons are like going, hey, we can maybe integrate this into some of our regular live stuff once the pandemic is over. And that's a really neat way to think of things like that.
Are you a big convention person? Are there certain ones that you kind of look forward to?
Oh, yeah. Well, we cover through the podcast and some of our other shows, we cover different cons throughout the country. But mostly we focus on the Southeast for, you know, that's where we're based out of. We have been out to San Diego Comic-Con. We've been up to Emerald City Comic-Con up in Seattle. I've not made it up to New York Comic-Con yet, but I do. That's on my to-do list. But we've been going to Dragon Con for the last 15 years. This is the first time since 2004 that I haven't gone to Dragon Con. We've gotten so close with the people who run Dragon Con, we actually started a podcast that's called the Dragon Con Report. And we actually do shows starting in January, leading up to the con in September, once a month. We have guests on, we have directors of the different tracks and everything. And we, you know, talk about it. We have cosplayers and we just give advice. We have a newbie segment where it's basically people who are coming to the con for the first time, because it's overwhelming, because Dragon Con is not like New York Comic Con or San Diego. But no two cons are the same anyway, but Dragon Con is unique because it's held in 5 hotels in downtown Atlanta. And then it also has a convention center for the vendor room and the gaming also, which is pretty amazing.
I was going to say, that's pretty interesting that you say that you do an episode on what to expect, you know, when you go to a convention for the first time, because I've never been to any of them. So I'm curious, as you know, what do you usually advise people when they go for the first time?
Well, when they go for the first time, take it slow. You're not going to get everything that you had planned done. At Dragon Con, it's basically 35 small cons under one roof, because they focus on all the different things with the topics and everything like that. With, you know, they have a space track, they have a Star Trek track. I hate to be redundant there. Star Wars track. A new media track, which is basically podcasting and video podcasting and such. But they have a Brit track. They have a gaming track. And it keeps on going and going. They cover everything. And they have literally entertainment and panels going on from Thursday at noon all the way till Monday evening when the con closes. And they're not a convention center, so they don't have to close. So they go 24 hours. And everything, which is pretty amazing. So you literally, and then on top of it, you have the big celebrity panels and you have, you know, bands playing. They even have professional wrestling there, and it's, and Robot Wars. And it's the only con of its type that also has its own parade on Saturday morning that's free to everyone. You don't need a badge to the con to go. And in the parade, it's all cosplayers. It's probably like 2,500 cosplayers. I think last time they got over 125,000 people, because people just bring their families down to see the parade. And it's like a good almost 2-mile hike for the parade. and it just gets bigger and bigger each year. So last year they did it on the local CW affiliate in Atlanta, and you could actually go up onto YouTube and type in the Dragon Con parade and you'll be able to see it. The con itself is just amazing because it's just so huge. Any of these cons, like New York or San Diego or Dragon Con, it's just madness. It's just so much to do, so much to see, so many people in costumes, and the people in costumes is just, it's all out, and it's just, it's awesome. And you know, you have to, you know, when we I actually do with the newbies group on Thursday afternoon of the con, when they first start, they do newbie tours where they give people tours of the hotels so you can go through and they could show you where a lot of the things are for it, because it's so overwhelming, you'll get lost and everything. But even through my podcast, to on top of that, we've done hotel tours where you can go onto YouTube and see me and one of my co-hosts, Darren. We do a tour of the different hotels to show, you know, talk about how you can get around and everything, and just give advice and everything. You know, tell people that you should shower, that you should put on deodorant, be nice to other people at the cons, and it's great. It is a lot of fun. So it's pretty cool to do. And Dragon Con is just a hoot. And actually, since Dragon Con was live this year, virtually, you could go onto YouTube and actually see a lot of the panels they had and such. You just type in Dragon Con 2020 on YouTube, and you might even see me pop up in a couple of them, which is pretty cool.
Having gone for many years, were there anything at the cons that was maybe unusual that really kind of stood out for you?
Well, you know, cons have grown and changed over the years. The whole concept of cosplayers, you know, when I was a little kid and started going to creation cons, like up in New York City, or going to cons down in Washington, D.C., or Baltimore Comic Con, some of those kind of type of cons, they were strictly, you met the artist or the writers, or if they had a celebrity or two, you went to see them speak, and then you just went around shopping and everything. That's what it was like when I grew up. Now, it's almost like a city upon itself, how amazing it is. Like New York Comic Con and San Diego, and to a lesser extent Seattle, are very much trade shows. They're like, you know, you go there to see, they're going to make the announcements about the new Avengers movie or the new Batman movie or something like that. And they'll have all these booths set up by the studios and everything. Dragon Con, on the other hand, is a fan-run con. It doesn't have all these huge corporations and such coming to set up, you know, these huge million-dollar setups in the vendor room or something or such. It's completely different. You can actually see some of the celebrities who are at the con enjoying the con in the evening, walking around and, you know, looking at the costumes or out to dinner or stuff like that. They want to be involved with what's going on at the con. It's pretty awesome. And, you know, San Diego has its merits too. It's pretty awesome.
So it's really all just like a communal experience for whether the first time goer or for the veteran attender.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I went to Dragon Con for the first time, I walked in and I was like, I found my tribe type thing. You know, I found my people. And it's kind of neat because I have a son who next month is going to be turning 21. And basically, he grew up with Dragon Con. The first year in 2004, I took him to Dragon Con. He was, what, 5 years old, four or five at the time. And I took him to the Dragon Con parade, and I wouldn't tell him what kind of parade it was. And he was like, Dad, what kind of parade are we going to? Because it's going to be the best parade you ever had in your life. And he's like, really? I said, yes, really. And then when I took him up to the parade route, we saw some stormtroopers walking up towards the parade route to get ready for it. And he looked at me again and said, Dad, what kind of parade is this? And I just smiled at him. And it was great to see him. He grew up with the con every year. It was awesome to see him do that, so much that he started cosplaying himself as he got into an older teenager. When he was littler, we once dressed up as the Blues Brothers. And, you know, he was like this tall, and I was like, So it was fun.
Is there anything in particular that you and your wife and your son geek out on altogether?
Now my son's 21. He does his own thing and everything. But yeah, growing up, I got him into Doctor Who. I got him into Star Trek. I got him into Star Wars. He actually got me involved with pop figures, as you could see behind me in the picture.
What are pop figures? Could you kind of tell me about that? I saw on your Facebook page too, you had a picture as well.
Yeah. Pop figures are little figurines, probably about 3 inches tall. As my wife says, oh, they're just like Beanie Babies were back in the late 90s. They're all licensed characters from movies and shows and books and athletes. It's just amazing what you have. I have one right here. This is Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay, now this is an audio only podcast, so I have to describe this. Or do you want to do it, Mike? You want to
go for it? You're doing great.
Okay, yes. Mike's description is very accurate. It's a small figure, and it's got like an afro and large eyes and the wire glasses, and he's holding an accordion.
Of course. What else would you expect from him? There's just so many different ones. Even for superheroes, you also have, you have Bob Ross Deadpool.
This is an afro and with a Deadpool face holding a paintbrush and a palette.
Yeah, of course. So it's and my son actually got me into them because he started collecting them before I did. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just buy one or two. And now I have a full collection throughout my room, even rare ones. And some of them are worth over probably like $200 each. And, it's just great when, some of them I collect, the more collectible ones I keep from, in the boxes, but other ones I take out. And it's just a ton of fun. I'll find one more for you that you might appreciate. How about Elton John?
He's in a red, white, and blue outfit. Well, red and white striped pants, a blue top, and very large glass.
That sounds like Elton John, doesn't it?
If I were to give that a description and people would say, yes, that would be Elton.
Yeah, exactly. But, there's thousands and thousands of these things, and I don't have all of them, folks. Don't worry about it. But, yeah.
How many do you have, if I might ask?
I probably have close to, I'd probably want to say 500 or so.
I would doubt it. In the background of Mike's room, there are three shelves, and they're all just end to end of these pop figures. I had never heard of this until today. This is interesting.
Oh yeah, you can get them now. They're like how we said, like they're like the Beanie Babies. So basically, you can find them at Walmart or Target or specialty shops at the shopping mall. Whoever goes to shopping malls anymore, or there's websites for it too. And so it's pretty awesome stuff. My son is, a geek on his own. He bought his first Jeep recently and he turned it into looking like one of the Jeeps from Jurassic Park. So he did it on his own. He works. He, used his own money. I was impressed. It makes me proud to see I raised a good geek and everything. So it's cool.
Well, you've definitely got the background for him to draw on. So I guess that's a good thing.
Oh, very much so. And, this is an audio only. When I turned 50, my friend Mark actually gave that as my birthday present. It was a sketch of my son that he did by hand. He is an illustrator for like Scream Magazine. And he also does a little Shop of Horrors magazine. He does a lot of the horror the Hammer horror films, the artwork for their new releases on Blu-ray and everything. He does the covers for it. And he does this all by hand. Judy, my wife, surprised me with it. And it's like, happy birthday. And it's like, oh, it's like, so it was awesome.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your podcast because we want people to tune into your Earth Station One podcast. You've done several hundred episodes at this point.
Yes. Right. The episode that's coming out on Thursday is going to be episode 542.
This will be airing a little bit later, so you guys will probably be even deeper into it by the time this airs.
Yes. So, yeah. So, and we, like I said, we're weekly. Earth Station One, we call it, you know, we basically said it's time to let your inner geek out to play. And, you know, that's our slogan for the show. And, you know, I've said earlier, you could be a geek about anything, and we talk about anything, literally, through, you know, our last couple, you know, through our shows, you know, we do try to keep up with the current shows that we're interested in. We do reviews of them. We also, you know, sometimes do classic movies. We recently, a couple months ago, we did It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. We also recently did The Godfather Saga, you know, episode number one and two. There is no number three. We don't talk about that, you know. Number three just doesn't get mentioned on our show.
You don't say nothing about number three.
Nothing. We do not say anything about three. And so it's pretty, you know, and it's great because we even talk about our most favorite foods. We do episodes every once in a while about. We talk about science on the show, you know, and we have a real scientist come on the show to talk what's going on and everything. We're still trying to get Neil deGrasse Tyson, but he has not, you know, said yes yet, you know, to come on to those. But it's awesome to be able to talk about science. It's awesome to talk about food. It's, we talk about music, you know. I gave away my age earlier where, you know, I still had a 50th birthday, but that was a couple years ago. I was actually one of the kids who you see running around in the Woodstock movie. My parents were hippies, and I grew up 2 miles from where Woodstock took place. And so almost my whole family was there. My parents were there. They took us. And so, you know, when we did a Woodstock episode, I talked about it. I actually got notes from my relatives because they were there. My uncle had a stand at Woodstock, you know, one of the vendors there. He was selling, you know, hippie jewelry. Now he owns a jewelry gallery on Fifth Avenue. It's pretty awesome how things evolve and everything, but to be able to do an episode, Woodstock was always something I wanted to talk about. So 500 and some odd episodes later, we got to talk about Woodstock.
But you were pretty small then, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I was one, like I said, I was one of those babies you saw, you know, in the movie. And so, no, I don't remember a thing about it.
Okay.
If you ask me, and I, you know, if I say, oh, I remember it being loud, you know, and everything.
But I was crying from the noise.
Well, probably I was, you know, because this is 1969. And, you know,
sure.
I was a wee one at the time. The show has evolved over time. And, you know, like I said, we spun off into Earth Station Who, which is our Doctor Who podcast. And that comes out bi-weekly. And Mike Gordon is also a co-host on that one. But we also have a wonderful young lady named Mary Ogle as our co-host also. And we have different guests. We've even talked to some of the actors that have played the Doctor on the show. So it's been pretty cool, you know. And we review both new series and classic series, and which is pretty awesome to be able to do, because I've been a Doctor Who fan since I was 10, and I found the show by accident on PBS.
Why do you think that show lasted so long? It's just got so many different incarnations, and the fans still just say it's loyal regardless of who's Doctor Who. I know that sounds kind of
silly. Who's who? Are you trying to say?
Who?
Who's who? But yeah, Doctor Who is interesting because it is a show about change. And it also shows that they don't need to go in there guns blazing and everything. It originally started as a kid's show, and it just evolved from there. And when they changed in like 1966, when they changed from the first Doctor to the second, that's never been done, you know, before, where they had replaced the main actor right midstream. And they just kept on going. And there's now been, technically, there's been 14 actors to play the Doctor. And the current Doctor is a female Doctor, which is the first one to be. And there's a lot of controversy about that because, you know, some of these, you know, nerd boys, and I could say that because I'm a nerd boy also, these nerd boys out there are, you know, bitching and moaning about it. And, you know, oh, this is not real Doctor Who. This is, you know, but you get that about Star Wars. You get that about Star Trek. Anything, anytime changes, you get the people griping and whining and complaining. And, you know, then when it changes again, oh, I missed the other one. It's like, whatever. Stop it.
There appears stuff to a certain point.
Oh, exactly. It is. And, you know, I like it that Doctor Who's not just a white, you know, a white male from Britain anymore. It's nice to see a difference. And they basically have a lot of different things. But there's the one thing that, you know, stays the same through all, it's almost 60 years. In two more years, it's going to be 60, you know, a 60th anniversary that they're coming up to for Doctor Who. Throughout the whole 60 years, it's been still the same concept that the Doctor is, you know, an adventurer. He is, you know, travels with a humanoid companion. Sometimes it hasn't been someone from Earth, but, and it's just, and it's been always a sense of wonder throughout the show. And that's been part of the coolness about it. And the other thing that always stays the same is the outside of the TARDIS. It's always a police box. You know, it's a neat series. And it has, you know, there's good stuff from it. There's bad stuff. I'm not beyond saying that there's bad stuff. We've given, you know, we rate each episode of Doctor Who at the end of the episode. All right, let's rate it 1 out of 5 TARDISes. And we say, all right, I'll give this, you know, usually it's higher up, you know, because a lot of these episodes are great and storylines. And, but, you know, there's been some real stinkers in there, real stinkers. And we've said, oh, I have to give this a 1. Or I, you know, I used to, when I first started that podcast, I used to swear, I will never give Doctor Who under a 3. Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I have. Which, that's pretty cool. And, you know, that show's evolved too. We've had various co-hosts on the show come and go, but it's been consistently me and Mike doing, you know, Earth Station 1 and Earth Station Who. And then we do the Dragon Con report also. And, like, we are on our 9th season of doing that show. And we've been doing that since 2013. And it's just been going through, and the show has just kept on going and going. And I didn't want to host another show, so I let Mike Gordon take that one as a host, and I co-host on it. And I also I produce all of them. You know, I do all the production on it. I do all the, you know, taking out the ums, the errs, the stutters, you know. And it's always funny whenever I do edit one of my podcasts, you know who I edit the most? Me.
Because you're on your own, are your own worst critic. And I'm going to edit all that out anyway.
No, it's cool.
The statement has been edited.
But, you know, and that's the great thing about it is, you know, I'm my worst critic. And that's the cool thing about it. I love to talk to my friends. I like to talk to, you know, people. And it's, my podcast is the way to do it. And the way for it to go through, which is cool.
And you also teach people how to podcast, don't you?
I do. I do. For probably last 5 years now, it's become more and more. I've just started mentoring people. And then when I go to cons now, I host a panel of, you know, like calling Getting Into, now it's called Getting Into Digital Media. It used to be like Podcasting 101, because now podcasting just isn't audio like you and I are doing. But, you know, it's also doing video podcasts, and it's becoming more and more, you know, relevant. You know, people put up YouTube podcasts, or they're doing Facebook Live or Twitch, or, you know, there's so many other places that you could do it. Heck, Amazon literally today started a brand new podcast service. I was actually shocked to see my podcasts were already up there, and I submitted them on Saturday. It's like, wow, that's fast.
I have to check it. I think Too Many Podcasts may be up there too, because I know they sent me an application, so... Mm-hmm. They were like, don't tell anybody. Well, I guess it's official now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, everybody knows now. So, but yeah, so I do teach people how to do it. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, nowadays it is so easy to podcast. Anybody could do a podcast. And sometimes it seems like there's more people out there who are doing podcasts than not doing podcasts. It's, you know, you could do a podcast on any topic. You could do it on any subject, whatever interests you have, anything from kids G-rated all the way to triple X, really naughty stuff. And that's just politics. You know, I'm not even talking about the other stuff. And so it's pretty cool. And, you know, the best way to get started on a podcast a lot of times is because you could record whatever you're saying. You're just sitting at your desk and then you just start talking into it. That could be your first podcast right there. But it's real interesting with podcasting. One of the, you know, the two words of advice I give people in my first class when I teach them or when I have a seminar or something at like a panel, I give them, you know, two words of advice. Those words of advice, number one, you're not going to get rich podcasting. You are so not going to get rich. Any notion that you think you're going to be able to do that as your full-time job and be able to quit your day job, don't even think about it. It's basically a needle in a haystack with that. If your last name is Marin or Smith or Rogan, then maybe you could think about it. But a lot of them don't make their money off the podcast either. They just do that as hobbies. A lot of them, they make their money off of their day jobs. You know, Kevin Smith is not going to give up directing to be a podcaster. You know, Joe Rogan isn't going to quit doing, you know, his shows, or Mark Maron isn't going to stop doing comedy and acting just to do his podcast. You know, it's pretty awesome, though. So, you know, that's the first word of advice. The second word of advice I give to the people, 90% of you will not podcast after 10 episodes. You're going to find out how much hard work it is. You're going to have to learn not just to record. That's the easy part. Talking to somebody, getting interviews, all that, easy as pie. Talking to somebody, piece of cake. That hard stuff is then promoting, editing, getting it out to all the different, you know, places that, you know, you host the podcast, all the social media, all the, you know, everywhere like that. It's just amazing how much work it is. And then most people don't realize that until they start doing it. And it's a fact that 90% of the podcasts that start don't even make it past the 10th episode.
I passed 100, so I'm safe so far. And you are well in the safe zone, my friend.
Oh, I know. There's days like, you know, why am I still doing that? I'm asking myself that. And my wife asks that too. It's like I always, or that, or I come up with a crazy idea for a new podcast. And my wife goes, you know, if you get another podcast, I get another dog. We have four dogs right now. Tell you whether, you know.
So, speaking of podcasts and new podcasts, what are some of the podcasts that you like to listen to, Mike?
Oh, podcasts I listen to. I listen to Kevin Smith's, Fat Man Beyond. I listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I listen to Mark Maron. I also, right now, I'm also listening to, But First, Let's Talk Nerdy. It's one of the shows on the ESO Network. There's an Electric Light Orchestra podcast I listen to. It is a song-by-song review of Electric Light Orchestra. It's called Face the Music and everything, and it's great. They're already up into the 80s with Electric Light Orchestra. They started from their very first album, and they just do, each week it's a different song on the album. And so they're up to like episode 120, I think, or something like that. So it's pretty awesome. Neil deGrasse Tyson has a podcast I listen to.
Star Talk Radio.
Yep, Star Talk. There was a radio show that I used to listen to, I grew up with from high school on, called The Don and Mike Show out of Washington, D.C., but they also used to be up in New York on WNEW. And after they broke up, Mike O'Mara started a radio show, but he got laid off back in 2009, and he started a podcast, and he's been doing a daily podcast, you know, like just a typical radio show, but an hour and 40 minutes of show each day, and I listen to that almost every day. I listen to some other stuff. I listen to something called Broken Record, which is a music podcast done by Rick Rubin, and, you know, there's just all different things that I listen to, and, you know, just thinking, you know, I listen to a lot of the shows on my network, which is nice. It's always good to hear what the people in my network are doing and such. You know, I listen to my shows when I edit them. So I do that too. So there you go.
You've got a bunch of shows on your network.
Right now we have 23 shows on our network, and we have, I think, four new shows waiting in the wings for the ESO network. And we go up and down with the amount of shows on the network. You know, we don't, you know, some podcast networks are really strict, you know, very strict and everything. We like to consider ourselves a big family. And, you know, you can come and go as you want. You know, we're, there's no hard feelings if you don't want to be part of the network anymore. Some shows have outgrown us. Some shows have just disappeared. Other shows, you know, they don't want to speak Mike Faber's name ever again. So it's okay. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, we have some great, great shows. There's some shows that have been with us right from the very beginning of the network and that are not my own. That, and then we also have, you know, shows, you know, that, you know, just hear about us and they like what we're doing and they join on board.
Okay, we have a portion of the show and we call it Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion. Shameless Self-Promotion.
Ha-ha-ha! What have I been doing for the last 45 minutes?
This is where you can let everybody know where they can reach you, follow you, stalk you, send you food, whatever they want to do.
Oh, sure. That'd be great. I appreciate it. Of course, Earth Station One, Earth Station Who, and of course, the DragonCon Report are all part of the ESO network. All of us could be found up on, you know, now Amazon, but, you know, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, even Pandora, we're up on now. And so you could find all of our shows. And of course, if you want to listen to back episodes of the shows, you could go to probably the ESOnetwork.com. And, you know, it's very easy. We have a brand new website we just put up about a month ago. And it's real super easy. We even add search functionality. So if you want to look for a topic that one of the shows is talking about, you could just look it up in the search functionality right on the website. It's pretty cool. ESOnetwork.com, EarthStation1.com for Earth Station One, EarthStationWho.com has its own website, and so does the DragonCon Report. Each one of those have back episodes and such. For social, we are up on Twitter, we're up on Instagram, but most of the stuff we do is Facebook, and we have a great, great ESO Network Facebook group. And, you know, feel free to join. We talk about all types of geeky stuff. We have, you know, we just, you know, last night we're talking about Apple was releasing, had a, one of their big, you know, brouhahas, and they released, you know, new bundles that they'd never done before. Or they also have, you know, we've talked about some of the things with Marvel or going on with, you know, some of the movies which are not coming out. You know, we've, that's threw our whole schedule off on the podcast. So, you know, we're talking all about that. So it's pretty cool. If you want to reach out to us, me personally, you can reach out to me at feedback@esonetwork.com or mike.faber@esonetwork.
I called it right at the beginning. He is the commander of Earth Station One and Earth Station Who. His name is Mike Faber. Mike, thanks so much for coming on by.
Oh, thank you for having me. It has been a true pleasure, Jim. I really appreciate it.
We're on that internet thingy at sherpollution.com.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
If you're not checking out Mike Faber's podcast network, Earth Station One, and all the shows that are on his network, all 24 of them, here are a couple other podcasts that you can check out in the category of nerd culture. There is 3 Hours Later, the Lit Gaming Arena, Bring On the Weird, Triple G Podcast, which stands for Games, Geeking Out, and Guilty Pleasures. The Nerdy Show. 30 and Nerdy. Epic Podcast. The Derpy Show. And again, gotta have one with a favorite title. Quotal Recall.
I'll be back.
So Rebels, be sure to check out Earth Station One podcast hosted by today's guest, Mike Faber. And thank you so much, Mike, for coming on the show. It was a real pleasure talking to you. Next week, I've got another interesting cat to talk to. His name is William Wally, and he hosts a podcast called World of Wally. And I had a lot of fun talking to him. We're two completely different people, I think, in some ways, but we just had so much fun talking with each other. He's from Mississippi, and he's got a whole bunch of interesting stories, and I hope that he does what he actually tells me in the interview, what he would like to do with some of those stories. But he had some interesting stuff to talk about in our interview, and I hope that you tune in. And where do you tune in? On your favorite podcast apps. If you don't have one, go get one now. Or you could listen on my website, SherpaLution.com. This is Jim, the podcast Sherpa. You've been listening to Too Many Podcasts. Mr. Bruce, I see that pocket protector. There's a little bit of nerd in you too, sir. So if you could please show everybody the door. Thanks. See you guys next week. Viva la Sherpalution!
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalition! Viva la Sherpalition! Yeah, I'll come back now, you hear?